MNHOWLIVE.org. That's MNHOWLIVE dot O-R-G. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or a tool via our meetings live chat. Only two our OA House sponsors share on the tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com to schedule a different time. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept
the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any compulsive eaters here at this meeting other than myself?
I am.
Hi, Megan. Over here.
Yeah, we're over here.
I am.
Oh, good to see and hear all of you. Thank you. Use the meeting's chat function as a virtual week hairbook and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the week hairbook that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list is sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Can I have someone please read What Is How?
Yeah, this is Maggie, a compulsive eater in Toronto. Hi, thanks for your service.
Hi, Maggie, welcome.
Hi. Hi. Good to be here. Okay, what is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Pass.
Isn't there a little more? Where did why and how? Where and why did HOW begin? Am I confused? Okay, I may be confused. Next.
No, I think there is a little more.
Okay. Sorry, you're right, Megan. Sorry, there's another paragraph which I missed. Sorry.
Okay.
You're right. Okay. And then I muted myself and I couldn't get back on. Okay. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York sponsors guide. I think that's it. Thank you.
That is all of it. Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie.
And then we need a volunteer, or maybe someone has volunteered already in the chat, to read the only requirements.
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. I'm unable to turn my video on tonight, but I will do
Welcome,
reading
Heidi.
Too.
Good
Thank
to hear you.
Hey, Heidi.
The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements, in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. And thanks, would Heidi. A volunteer please read the how concept? You do not have to be a sponsor to read the how concept. Is there someone who could do that?
I think Bryn's hand is up.
Okay, let me see, Bryn. Oh, there he is. Bryn, would you like to do it? I can unmute you. Maybe I can't unmute him. I thought I could. There you are. Bryn, would you like to read the how concept?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just a minute. I get the page here. Just a minute here. My desk is so cluttered. Okay. I'm Bryn, compulsive overeater.
Welcome, Bryn.
Hey, Bryn.
Hi, Bryn. Thank you.
The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how means have been formed to offer compulsive overeater who accepts the 12-step and 12 traditions of the program recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA HOW program will offer us any sustained absence of those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 additions as necessary for our recovery. In our OA HOW, our daily action and outline is a structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us. And that the whole idea that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the adherence of the program that is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meetings also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through the absence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of the program offers us a promise of happiness, consent, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained absence from compulsive of being forever aware that God is doing for us what we had never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as these would understand, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested in this meeting. Amen. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bryn.
And now I believe I have Tamara to read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12.
Yes.
Missed
one.
Hi, Tamara.
No, reflection to for the newcomers next.
Oh, I am so sorry. Did I skip reflections? I thought that's what Bryn just did.
I can do reading 4. I think you just did reading 3.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
Okay, reflections. I'm Jane, compulsive reader. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book, page XXVI, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The family afterward, Big Book, page 133. Good luck, everyone in the fellowship is praying that you will find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Pass.
Thank you,
Jane. Thanks, Jane.
Thanks for keeping me on track, guys. Okay, now we have the excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12.
Yes, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Tamara. Welcome.
Hey, Tamara.
Thank you. When you look across your life, you see that we're concerned in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person is doing. We've been miles in the dead of night satisfying food. We've eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, and even dangerously spoiled. We've eaten food off of people's plates, off of the floor, and off the ground. We've dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we've eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves.
Yeah, Tamara, we're not hearing you here. You're being garbled.
Okay.
Maybe we can find someone else here to do the meeting.
Okay.
I'll have Tamara. Thank you. Is there somebody else who could read step 2?
I could do it.
Thanks, Jane.
Sure. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we're doing to ourselves with food and became obsessed with, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned, along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain. Then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. The end. And there are tons of readings left to be taken. So if you are getting tired of hearing my voice, please sign up. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jane. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane.
Okay, next we have How It Works. I believe we have a volunteer for that one.
Okay. I'm Bryn, you hear me?
We hear you, Bryn. Welcome.
I'm Bryn, again, a compulsive overeater, a recovering compulsive eater, thank God. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have you seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constantly incapable of being honest with themselves. They're such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They're naturally incapable of grasping the manner of living that, which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. Those two who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders may even do recover if they have the capacity to do these. Our story discloses in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have, you're willing to go any length together, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balk. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough in every start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas. The result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with food, with alcohol or food, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures avail us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection, care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Thank you, Bryn. Thanks for all your service.
Thanks, Bryn.
We've got someone for the 12 steps, Bryn. Thank you. Deborah L. I'm not sure where you're from, but Deborah L., can you please read the 12 steps?
Good evening. This is Deborah L., grateful, compulsive overeater from Michigan. The 12 steps.
Hi, Deborah. Welcome.
You're welcome.
We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or ourselves. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to take to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to our progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Deborah. And Howard, can I please have you do the 12 traditions?
Sure. Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Howard.
Hi there. Hi, Howard.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted and servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions. Ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with
thanks,
that, I'll
Howard.
Pass. Thank you.
Yes,
thanks,
Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Okay, so the tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
Wow, really?
Oh, no.
Kidding. Sorry to tell you.
What?
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would somebody be willing to be the timekeeper?
I'm the timekeeper. Thanks, Megan.
Oh, thank you, Heidi. I didn't realize we already had someone signed up. That's awesome. So just to let everybody know, we have 3 or 4 sponsorship tools still open. The first 2 tools, abstinence and plan of eating, are both open. We need sponsors to step forward for each of those. Is there, and if there's nobody who's willing to step forward right this moment, we're going to skip forward and go on to the third tool, which is anonymity. And we can come back to those other 2. Going once, going twice.
I think we have
their hands raised.
And we have awesome. Christopher, who can read sponsorship, but maybe are one of the hands up able to do plan of eating? I see Bonnie's hands up.
Bonnie?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, I planned on doing it, and I thought that I signed up for it. So
awesome. Well, Bonnie, we appreciate your willingness to serve, and are you able to turn on your video?
Yep.
There you are.
There I am.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hi, Bonnie. Oh. Welcome.
Hi. So much. Yeah. Happy to be here. Tool 1, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals and nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed, so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. And I'll describe I have my abstinence kit here. So there's a few different kinds of scales. This one is my favorite one for at home. I don't know if you can see this. Here's the scale. It's electronic. I turn it on here, and then I can choose the unit so I can measure by grams, by ounces, by pounds. And then I put my little bowl here and I put my food in here. And then I zeroed it out and I put my next food group in and measure that. So this, I love this one for at home. And then there's another one. This one used to be my favorite, but it broke but this is really good for going out because it's easy to carry, you know, carry in your purse. It fits under your plate really well. And here's where you see everything to do what you want to do with it. And then the other kind that I have is a spring-loaded scale. And I like these. I use all of these, by the way. if you can see, let's see if I can figure out the technology here. There's the dial. And as you put your food in, you measure to make sure it's exactly where yours is supposed to be. You always want to use this little dial in the back to calibrate it to zero. Once you have your bowl sitting on it, you calibrate it to zero and then start adding your food. So those are the scales. And then we also use measuring cups. We take whatever amount we're supposed to have, put our food in it, and use this came together, this leveler came with this set to level it off, just like that. So we do that, and also with any spoons, same thing. And then the other thing in our abstinence kit is telephone. What I do with the telephone every single day, every single morning at the same time, pretty much, is call my sponsor and tell her what I'm going to eat for the day. You know, I promise, this is what I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat all of it, and I'm not going to eat any more than this. For some of us, we have to promise that we will eat it all. And for some of us, we promise that this is all we're going to eat, and we're going to eat all of it.
Time's up for the description.
Oh, okay, great, good. I was just done. Number four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol. That was number six. Number seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. This plan of eating, it was a lifesaver for me because I'm one of those people that in my teen and early 20s, mid-20s, I was anorexic. And then I tried to, you know, pretend I wasn't. So then I would overeat or eat in front of my mom, but then I would go and throw it up. And then that carried on for decades. And then I just started overeating. I just started binging constantly. And it seems odd that there's all three of those things, but it's all the same disease. It's different facets of it, is what I have come to learn for myself. So this plan of eating really, it literally saved my life. And this is something that I have designed for myself. This charts out my food every single day. This covers 1 week, all my meals and what I'm gonna have in them. So I sit down and plan my food. And again, it's been a lifesaver. Otherwise, I think I would just sit, especially during this time, when we're at home and not doing what we usually have been doing. I just can't even, I shudder to think where I would be if I didn't have my food plan. But it's what keeps us sane. It's what keeps us alive. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome, Bonnie. And now I'm going to ask Christopher to please read and pitch on sponsorship.
Hi, I'm Chris J. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hi, Chris. Welcome.
Hi.
Okay, hi, great.
Welcome.
Great to be here. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels: physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own abstinence. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who, thank God, has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls or be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the new person is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem, it's the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, action plan, service and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. And an amazing thing happened to me when I stepped up. I had a beautiful step up. And I did not feel qualified to be a sponsor at all. I was thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? And I just started doing it. And an amazing thing happened. When I started sponsoring, my food thoughts went away. And that's when I knew that this program was a spiritual program. As soon as I started getting out of my head and out of myself and helping somebody by just following the program, just taking them through the questions one by one, day by day, it was amazing. And over the last 13 years, it's been a very gratifying experience watching people mature, watching people put away their anger, watching the physical recovery and then the emotional, relational recovery and the spiritual recovery. It's, words just don't describe it. You have to experience it to really know. And the sponsors out there know what I'm talking about. So with that, I'd like to pass and thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Chris, for your
Thanks,
service.
Chris.
Okay, next we're going to have the sponsor line. For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following. Number one, how long in OA and HOW? Number two, how long abstinent in OA or HOW? And three, how much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief. And no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors, you are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or press star and 9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. And I believe Carrie helps us to move through this in an organized manner, correct?
I tried. Thanks, Carrie.
Job. Thanks, Carrie.
Chris, if you want to go ahead.
Hi, I'm Chris J., grateful compulsive overeater and food addict from Sterling Heights, Michigan. I entered HOW in January 2005. My black and white abstinence date is July 26, 2007. And by the grace of my higher power in this program, I've maintained a 123-pound weight loss.
Nancy D.
Hello, everyone. Nancy D., a compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of HOW in September of 2017, and my back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018, and I've been relieved of 109 pounds. I pass.
Bonnie J.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bonnie J. I'm an anorexic bulimic overeater. And I first came to OA HOW in September of 2007. My most recent abstinence date is August of 2016. And I'm down 45 pounds from my top weight, and I'm up 55 pounds from my low weight.
Mary G.
Mary G. In St. Paul, Minnesota. Compulsive overeater. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. I've lost and maintained 75 pounds. Pass.
Bryn.
Yeah, I'm Bryn, a 2-hour HOW sponsor from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. My most recent abstinence date is October 2007. Out of 554 pounds previously, I gave away 335. At present, I'm maintaining for my doctor's, my weight at my doctor's recommendation. So I pass.
Christina C.
Hey everyone, it's Christina. I live in New Mexico. I'm an OA HOW sponsor and a compulsive overeater. I'm maintaining about a 50 pound weight loss, and my abstinence date is June 2017. Thanks.
Ruth.
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA HOW sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss.
Nancy R.
Hi, this is Nancy R. I am in Philadelphia, and I started traditional OA on June 2017. I stayed there for 6 months and left. I found OA HOW and became abstinent in May 2020. I released so far 14 pounds. Pass. Thank you.
Kelly C.
Hi, I'm Kelly C., a compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia. I started OA HOW in December 2019, which was also my back-to-back abstinence date. And by the grace of God, I've been relieved of 35 pounds. Thank you. And I pass.
Deborah L.
I am Deborah L. from Michigan, and I came into the doors of OA HOW May 23rd, 2020. I've been abstinent since May 23rd, 2020, and I have been relieved of 30 pounds from my top weight, 25 of those in OA HOW. Thank you, and I pass.
Amanda A. Tamara.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been blessed with the gift of abstinence on April 3rd of 2017. I've been relieved of almost 100 pounds from my top weight with over 75 pounds in the HOW program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass. Thank you.
Debbie Z.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came to the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started working the HOW concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am down 120 pounds, and I pass.
Holly.
Hello, I'm new here. I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Holly, and I'm a binge eater. And today is my 16th day of sobriety for my first time in my life, and I'm thankful for virtual groups. Pass.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago, grateful overeater, compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11th, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds. I am an OA two-hour house sponsor, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Amanda.
Hi, this is Amanda, compulsive overeater. Sorry about that. I muted myself when you unmuted last time. I have been in the rooms of How for 17 years this month. My current back-to-back abstinence date is May 5th of this year. I have released 53 pounds since returning and 118 from my top weight pass.
Jane.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I came to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in 2011, I believe. And then found How just over a year ago on September 19th. And I have been, I have lost about 16 pounds so far, and I am a sponsor. Thanks.
Howard.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years, 19 years and 3 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I am an overeater from Minnesota. I've been in the program just a little bit over the year, over a year, and I've been relieved of 35 pounds. Is there anybody else who is on the phone line? Press star six if you're on the phone line. Otherwise, Megan, if you want to go ahead. Oops, I muted you. Sorry.
That's okay. I see Lewis's hand raised as also.
Sometimes I miss people.
So yeah, well, absolutely. That's okay. There's a lot going on.
Lewis, if you can start your video.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm Prowless Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. And I came into OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, I've relieved over 115 pounds.
All right. And unless I see anybody else, I'll go. My name is Megan. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA House sponsor. I came into traditional OA in 2006. I found How in February of 2009. My back-to-back abstinence date currently is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor, and I've had an abstinent pregnancy. And I'm going to go read Clay Feet. We should all remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair for that person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are all in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. And I do believe we have a volunteer for anonymity.
Mm-hmm. This is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Tamara. Welcome.
Hey, Tamara. Welcome.
Hi. Hopefully you can hear me now. Yes, anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom to expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as OA, individual OA members, have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television means that we never allow our last names or faces to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It's not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It's otherwise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we're careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in fact, help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is a part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our stories will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we had no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. That's the first time for most of us that we experienced sharing where we were not told what we did wrong. We came into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We're supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We're encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery on the threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here,
yes. I remember when I first started and I was talking to someone outside of program, and I said, I talk to 4 fellows a day and these fellows and everything. And finally they said, aren't there any women in it? Just men? And I said to him, well, you know, fellows as in, you know, people, you know, not gender specific and whatnot. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's women, there's men, there's people of all sizes. I looked up anonymity in the dictionary, and it says it's lacking individual characteristics. To be nameless or faceless, or not to be referred to by name. And for me, before program, I was an egomaniac. I was always seeking attention and validation from other people. I was codependent. And I was always judging and fault finding and criticizing everyone and everything in my life, basically. But anonymity is a way for me to work on my humility, which was a foreign word to me before program. And since pride is one of my most dangerous shortcomings, and probably the most prevalent one, practicing humility is one of the best ways for me to help combat this prideful ego I have. I can pass on to the OA message to other people by my actions much more than by my words or my ego or my bravado. I can bring people to the program from what I've achieved more than what I say I can do. May I continue to practice these principles in all my affairs. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
All right, guys. Next is telephone. Again, we're looking for a sponsor who's willing to step forward and be of service and pitch on telephone. Is there anyone out there?
I think Carrie. Yeah, okay. Here we go.
Oh, Carrie, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. All right, telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with others, with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides immediate outlet for those hard to handle high and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link
to our sponsors, and as a part of our surrender process is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out and extend that same to help others. And how we are asked to make 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. All right, so the 3 phone calls, I seriously didn't get that until like a month ago, because you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so that's why we make 3 phone calls a day, which makes sense. I have a love-hate relationship with phone calls. I can't live without them, but then some days I just don't really want to make them. So I have a variety of people that I speak with. I have people I can make quicker phone calls with, and then I have, like if I say, you know what, I'm just struggling right now, I just need my 3 phone calls in and I need to go do other things, can this just be a quick phone call? And they're okay with it because we all get it. We don't need a long drawn out conversation. It can be that if you want, or it can be a shorter conversation. We who are part of this program understand, because we have been making lots of phone calls. But it really has been a lifesaver for me. I live by myself. I work remotely, and I haven't actually ever met any of my coworkers. So the program has been part of my community, especially in this time of the COVID, where everybody's trying to isolate as much as they can. So it really has been a lifesaver. I've been estranged from my family for years, and so it's been almost like a substitute family. It's amazing how the mind, like when I first started, it was just, I didn't have close relationships, but I've built those close relationships. But the process of actually phoning people, it kind of tricks your brain, or helps us know that we're part of something bigger than ourselves, that we're part of a group that's bigger than ourselves. And that's something that community is something that we need. And it seems almost like it's been taken out of our society. So I will be a 12-stepper for the rest of my life, because this group gets me, and we're all human. That's what I like about it. We're all understand that we make mistakes, and if somebody makes us mad in the program from a phone call, we thank God they're in the program, because at least, and if I make somebody else mad too, thank God that I'm in the program, because at least I can be in a supportive group where I can work through it. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, you, Carrie. Thank you for doing service. Okay, next we have meetings, and somebody signed up for that. I'm sorry, I lost my meetings. Yeah. Lewis. Hey, yeah, Lewis.
Hey, Megan. Paralysis over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. Grateful to be here. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery, to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meetings. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. Meetings have transformed my life. When I was 12 stepped into this program, what the person did after I spoke with them, what they did is they took me to a meeting. And I'd never been to a HOW meeting before, and I'd never been exposed to anything like this before. And the whole format of us going through all the readings, explaining how the program works, and then going through this process of all the tools and the sharing by each of the sponsors as part of this effort, plus the sponsor line, and then the leader, and then the speaker, and then the pitching, all of it is such an extraordinarily rich experience. And one of the things that's so important to me, additionally about meetings, is the fact that it's all about how to be a part of we. In other words, we is the first word of the first step, and to me, the most important word of recovery. Because as was shared earlier, I was an egomaniac when I was eating. And I was very isolated and very, very self-centered. And I felt very much apart from. And what meetings are about is that you all teach me how to be a part of, how to belong, how to connect with others. And there's always a very strong and inviting, safe atmosphere at the meetings where we can share and be vulnerable. And also, at the same time, share the joy of what it is to be abstinent in this program. So I can't tell you how important it is to provide service at meetings, because this is how I've learned how to perform services through meetings. And one of the most important forms of service that one can perform at a meeting is just show up to a meeting. Because if there weren't people at the meeting that I first showed up to, I would not have received this message of recovery. So I'm very, very grateful for this meeting. This is my home group, and the richness of recovery in here is just extraordinary. And as was shared in the chat, it's just $3, and it's a lot less expensive than the pay in ways. So I'm just so grateful to receive this great gift that you all give me by attendance and participation in the meetings. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lewis.
Nancy D., welcome on to pitch on literature and writing.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. I'm Nancy D. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Nancy. Welcome.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey, thank you. And I, tool 6 and 7, literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program by substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA's literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, and also Purple Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problems, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing, in addition to our writing, our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps, further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it became easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary actions. So tonight I wanted to just share on just reading, actually it's literature and writing, but someone mentioned this being a WE program, and also someone also mentioned the fact that, you know, that as of recent that they just got something with regard to the 3 phone calls, but with regard to step 6 and 7, I love the fact that they are paired together, that this is some of my doing part of the program, my action, because I've found that nothing in this program has happened for me without me acting. So this, my action part, this being a part of my action and participating in my recovery. And again, also these tools have provided me with a great sense of release. And also just the fact that, again, reading and writing, they're tools that I'm using. So again, I appreciate the fact and can celebrate that a tool does indeed work if you use it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy. And Christina C., welcome. And she's going to share on service.
Hi, everyone. It's Christina, and I live in New Mexico.
Hey, service. Christina. Welcome.
Christina.
Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Yeah, we get to give back what we've been given. And I know when I first came to program about 5.5 years ago, my first weekend, I just started crying. I remember I was in my condo in Minneapolis where I was living at the time. And I just like fell on the floor and was crying, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. But now I know in retrospect, like when you take away my main drug, I fall apart. And it was literally falling apart. And I just remember calling a random person on the WeCare list. I still have no idea who that person is. And I just said, everything hurts. Why does everything hurt? I don't know why I'm crying. That person just stayed with me on the phone for like 45 minutes and just said, I'm here with you. Don't worry, you'll get through this. And I think about that often because now I get to answer the phone for others and I get to be that person who gives back what's been given to me. And I have a sponsee who's a relative newcomer to program, and I'm on vacation this week in Breckenridge, Colorado. And my sponsor was like, okay, like, do I still call you on vacation or do I call someone else? And I know everyone has different philosophies about this, but for me, I said, yes, please call me. Like, I need to do service while I'm on vacation. I need that for me. It grounds me. It gives me a chance to be present to what's going on in the world. And it gives me a chance to give back what I've been given. And I cannot, like, this program is so, it's like so circular, like the more we give, the more we get. And someone earlier said, you know, like everything I've gained through this program is by taking action. And I feel like that's one of the things that's so great about service is we just get to, in any small way, take action. And that, for me, helps me to just really be present and not check out, which is so good for me in my recovery. So thanks for allowing me to do a little bit of service.
Thanks, Christina.
Thanks, Christina.
Okay. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Yay.
Thank you all for being there. It's a service right there. The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place. We want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press *6 on your phone's keypad to introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If telephone calls, please give us your phone number and your time zone with your best times to call. Group response. Okay, so any newcomers out there, we would love for you to unmute by pressing *6 or turn on your video so that we can welcome you. I think we have anybody brand new or returning?
Hi, I'm returning.
Hi, welcome.
Marilyn.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome back.
Welcome.
Thanks. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome.
We're glad you're here. Would you like to, you can put your information in the chat with your call times and mm-hmm. your phone number.
I did.
Good, good. Well, welcome back, Marilyn. We're glad you're here.
All right, thanks.
Welcome. Is there anyone else who's returning or who's here with us for their first time? Okay, well, welcome, Marilyn. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Okay, may we please have a treasurer's report?
I'm Prowess Over Food. My name is Lewis. And
Hey, Lewis.
Yeah. We have $860.22 in the bank, in our account. Carrie posted onto the chat how you can donate to the group. I think what we should do at some point fairly soon is determine when I should make a contribution to the intergroup and to World Service. But, you know, we don't have to do this immediately. Maybe the next group conscience that we have, we can at least discuss that. So that's it. We're doing okay, and we'll give an update next week. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis. I also want to welcome Deborah V, who was apparently not able to unmute or start her video. But Deborah, we see you in the chat. We're glad you're here. And if you want to share your information, please, if you haven't already, please go ahead. Okay, next I think is our seventh tradition helps to provide this meeting. And we provide equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. And I'm going to read the promises. The promises, here we are. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work from them. And that is from the big book, pages 83 and 84. And now it's time for announcements.
Okay, this is Mary Jean. Can you see me?
I can, Mary. Welcome.
Great. Sheila and I are the calendar people for leaders. And what we are looking for, leaders for November 9th, 16, 23, and 30. So if you are a sponsor and haven't led in a while, we would love to have you do some service for our group by being a leader. And I will put those dates in the chat and you can reply to me. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you for your service. And I'll make a quick announcement along the same lines. I'm the person who helps to look for the speakers that we have for this meeting, for the 20-minute share. And we're also in November for that. So we're looking for November 3rd and November 17th. And I will try to put those in the chat. And also, it's always nice to start thinking about December because it's so crazy. So if you have a special day coming up in November or December that you'd like to commemorate or just want to give service as an act of gratitude for everything you've been given, You can go to the Sign Up Genius on the Leader Speaker Sign Up Genius, or you can just contact me and I'll have my info in the chat. Okie dokie. Moving on. Carrie, do you need an announcement?
We have a virtual intergroup rep position open. If you want to represent this in the virtual intergroup, which is like all of the virtual groups, they have an intergroup, which they get together, I think, once a month. And so if you're interested in that, please reply to the email. The other thing too, I thought of just announcing, we lost our ASL interpreter. So and we've been getting a couple pings on the email. So if anybody's interested in trying to figure out a way to get them back or get ASL interpreters on the meeting, just reply as well. And that's it.
Thank you. Really appreciate your service, Carrie. Okay, let's see. Literature and books. Newcomers and sponsors material are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at the bookstore at oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At OA How meetings, we recognize milestones of recovery for those working the How program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Yay! Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So I'm going to start. Ooh, we're starting with 20 years or more. There's there's quite a list there. So does anybody have 20 years or more of abstinence out there? How about 15 to 19 years? How about 10 to 15? How about 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2? How about 18 months of abstinence? 1 year? All right, keep coming back. Those anniversaries happen. Next, we would have 9 months of abstinence, just in time to give birth to a whole new way of life, right? Or 6 months of abstinence. I think next we have 60 days. 30 days. All right, not today. Our last coin is actually the most important. It's what we call the chip of desire. And this does not mean, or a 24-hour trip, it does not mean that you're abstinent today or going to be tomorrow. What it means is that you heard something tonight in the sponsor line or in one of the pitches that make you want to have a different relationship with food, that makes you want to have a different experience in life, and that you want to just try a new thing. Would anybody like a chip of desire? Okay, well, not tonight. If anybody needs a chip or decides they want that chip of desire, you can contact Heidi in the chat and speak with her to get yourself any of the chips that you need. All righty. Let me see. Step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask a group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has completed the first 3 steps of the program and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At OA How meetings, sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program, to stick with the stickers, to remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we do not water down the program. I am not aware of any step-ups and anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. I'm not aware of any anniversaries either. However, if you want to sign up for a step up or an anniversary on this meeting, You can go to the Sign Up Genius link on our webpage and enter it there so that we can celebrate with you. We love to celebrate, so please do. Okay, the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes, and I think I actually have 10 minutes. Awesome. Heidi, you're the timer, I believe, and if you can just give me a 2-minute warning, and then be quiet.
Verbal or okay. In the chat?
You know, verbal would be helpful for me. Thank you.
We'll do.
I have a hard time concentrating on too many things at once. So, hi all. This is Megan in Virginia still a compulsive overeater. And I did not really think through what I was going to talk about tonight. So you guys are about to get whatever comes to my head off the cuff. I am a compulsive overeater who's been one her entire life, and I'm very grateful that I have found this program. It has, I truly believe, saved my life, saved my, certainly my sanity, and probably my life itself. I came into program, I followed my mom, who knows she's a part of my talk, into program, into traditional OA in 2006. And the reason that happened is because she lost a lot of weight, but that didn't get my attention. I had seen my mom lose about a whole person, about 130 pounds plus, about 5 times in my lifetime. So the weight loss was not, and I was like, yeah, whatever. But what got my attention was the transformation of her as a person that I saw. You know, I remember standing next to my dad. I was home visiting New Jersey, which is where I'm from originally. And I was looking at my mom, who was going around. She was at church, and she was going from one group to another. And she had all of these things that she was involved in, and had like blossomed. That was not my mom. I looked at my dad and I said, who was that woman? And what did you do with my mother? So she got my attention by the transformation, not by the weight loss, by carrying the message in her life. And that was very attractive. So when we say that we don't promote, that we attract, that's true. I think for the people who know us, that is absolutely true. So I followed her into traditional OA. I had a little bit of abstinence in traditional OA, until I had a series of things happen that, I was not accepting of, and I wasn't in fit spiritual condition at that point because I was angry at God. I wasn't speaking to God, and I call my higher power God. And somebody said, well, you need to ask God for help with that. And I said, well, God and I are not speaking terms right now. So you can imagine how long you stay abstinent with that kind of attitude. It was not very long. So I fell out of my abstinence, and I gained back. I'd lost about 60 or 65 pounds at that point, gained it all back, and had a baby in that time. And I was about, I don't know, maybe under a year later, I found an OA How meeting. It was the Wednesday night OA How telephone meeting. Wouldn't have called in had I realized that it was a How meeting, because I'd heard of How in traditional OA. And they were those crazy people that were like food Nazis, and I wanted nothing to do with that. But I heard in those rooms what I needed. Like, as soon as I listened to that meeting, I heard hope, and clarity and joyfulness. And again, the attraction, right? There was an attraction, even though I couldn't see any of you, couldn't see the faces, couldn't see people in normal sized bodies maintaining weight loss. But I could hear it. Like the diseased mind that I had at that moment could hear the recovery and the difference that was on the other end of that phone line. And I knew that what they had, I did not have. And I knew I wanted it. I knew that that was my way out. And I was willing at that moment to grab on. And I got a sponsor. The next day, I started working program February 2nd of 2009. And I wish I could say it was all a straight shot from there, but I'm a relapse survivor. About 3 years in, I had a fairly substantial relapse. I was out for 14 months. I wasn't out. I was hovering around the fringes. Like, I would still call into meetings. The thing about being in relapse, once you've actually been in recovery, at least for me, was that I knew what I was doing was futile. I knew that every bite I took, and I gained just shy, like I gained 100 pounds in 14 months. So, you know, I was eating a lot, right? And every bite I took, I knew was a futile act, but I couldn't stop. Because once that cycle of obsession and allergy start, I am hopeless. I am lost. I am a drowning woman. And I could do nothing to stop the cycle. I had late teen young adult kids living here at that point. I have 9 children. I have a big family. And my older kids knew me, obviously, prior to program, had good memories, you know, had memory of me prior to program, during program, and then in relapse. And I remember my oldest daughter specifically, and the next daughter down, so my first and my third, standing in the kitchen with me going, "Mom, what are you doing? You gotta get back in program. Why are you doing this?" But I couldn't, you know, I couldn't stop. So one evening, like I said, I knew it was futile, and I still was hovering around the edges of the phone meetings. I'd dial in, I wouldn't unmute, I wouldn't do anything, I would just listen. And one night I heard a speaker who, like, everyone tells my story. I always say, y'all are telling my story, but this person really, really spoke to me. And I called them the next day and I told her what was going on. And that I knew it was futile and I couldn't stop. And like, I was at this bottom of this dark, deep well. And I just thought, there's never any getting out of this. You just might as well just push the dirt in on top of me, because I am going to be here till the day I die. That's meant the mental space I was in. And I told her all of this and I said, you know, I don't know that I can do it again. I don't know that I have it in me. But would you be willing to at least try it with me? And she said yes. And I believe I really owe that woman my sanity. Certainly the life that I live today. And about the thing that gets me every time is about 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I started, she had a slip, went into relapse, and I don't think she's ever been back. At least not that I've ever heard. And, you know, I just, there's so many of us out there that, you know, we come into these rooms and we leave, maybe before we get the miracle, maybe like I did somewhere in the midst of the miracle, because I woke up one day with the crazy thought that I don't need to do this anymore. It was a little bit more than that, but I'm not going to go into all of that. But, you know, for today, I know that this program. Thank you. For today, I know that this program is an utter gift, that my top priority every day is to stay in fit spiritual condition, because if I'm not, then I shut the door on God, and I need God to do for me what I can't do for myself. Today, I know that no brownie, cupcake, bag of candy corn in the world is going to fix my spiritual problem. It does not exist. There's a famous spiritual saying that says we have a God-shaped hole inside of us, and that any addiction is our futile attempt to fill that God-shaped hole. And I was thinking about this not too long ago in one of my reading and writings, and I realized when we say God-shaped hole, well, my concept of God, probably very traditional for most people, God is an infinite being, right? I don't have a concept of truly what God is, right? God is this ultimate infinite being. So what that says to me is I have an infinite hole in my soul. There's nothing on this planet that can fill it. There's no amount of food items, acclimation, other people, attention, alcohol, you name it. It does not exist in this world because it was never meant to be filled by what is in this world. It was meant to be filled by an infinite God. So my solution has got to be spiritual. And this program for me, I'm going to wrap up with this. It's not my faith. It's not my religion. It's going to sound a little bit strange, but it's a doorstop. This program keeps the door between God and I open. Because as soon as I pick up the food, I slam that door shut. Thank you, Heidi. I appreciate it. And I'm going to gratefully introduce Kelly in Pennsylvania, who's our speaker for this evening. Thank you,
Thanks,
Kelly.
Thanks, Megan.
And can you let Heidi know how you want to be timed?
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you so much. Heidi, I'm going to keep track of my own time, but if you could give me a shout when I have 5 minutes left, and then when time's up, that would help. Thank you so much.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. I live outside of Philadelphia. This is my husband's very green golf room. And it's the only private room I have in my house. So please forgive it looks like I'm on the PGA tour or something right now. But I'm so grateful to be here. I'm feeling a little bit of humility. And first of all, thank you for the excuse to brush my hair and put on makeup. It's been a few months. This has been a really crazy time for all of us. And it's nice to have something to look forward to. Oh my gosh. I definitely belong here. My picture should be on the wall in the OA clubhouse because my entire life has revolved around whether I'm eating or I'm not eating, whether I'm on a diet or I'm not on a diet, whether I'm in a program or not in a program. It's been an exhausting roller coaster of ups and downs that the only solution has been a spiritual solution with OA. I can't even begin to tell you the gifts and the recovery that these rooms have brought me. And it's been a bit of a journey. You know, I'm gonna, how I see Howard has started the pictures. I'll go back a little bit to childhood and everything, but you know, I started my pictures with 2002 because this is when things became really obvious to me that I needed a program. This picture here was a family friend who was ordained as a bishop. And that dress that I'm wearing, it split open on the way over, up the side of my leg because I had gained so much weight so quickly. We had to stop at a drugstore and buy a sewing kit. And that was such a low point for me to, you know, admit to my husband that I busted out of my dress. My life was so unmanageable. The next picture was right before I came into OA for the first time. It was 1 month before becoming abstinent. And there's a big smile on my face, but I was not smiling in my heart. I was just broken. The next picture, I had 6 months of very clean back-to-back abstinence. I lost 50 pounds. And I was doing all of the things in OA that worked. I was calling in my food. I was speaking to a sponsor every day. And life was good. I really was doing the tools at that time. That was a good period of time. Really, really strong program and strong faith. My next picture is an abstinent pregnancy. It literally looks like I have a beach ball, which cracks me up because I never imagined, I always thought with my food issues that I would balloon up and gain 100 pounds when I became pregnant. And I didn't. I had a healthy, abstinent pregnancy. It was a gift. It was amazing. But after I had my second son, the wheels fell off again. And after that was just years of struggle. Thankfully, I didn't get into the sugar, but I got into everything else. It was like saying, well, I'm not doing heroin anymore, but I'm still drinking a gallon of vodka. It was just a mess, and just struggling. I'll go into that a little bit more. This is last December. I had just started OA. That's me and Will Ferrell. He's my buddy. That smile is a little more sincere. The body weight is obviously still something to be worked on, but I was beginning to feel hope again. And then this is me and my sons now this summer, a healthy and happy and feeling so grateful. Still a while to go, one day at a time, but I could not be back in recovery without OA How. So thank you so much, Howard, for showing those. I am the youngest. I think it's great that Megan went first and spoke about her big family. I am from a big family myself. I'm the youngest of 8 children, and my parents, they were lovely people, but they were done. They had phoned it in from day one. I was an emotionally needy kid who had emotionally distant parents. They were good people, they loved us, but they were just done. And it wasn't a good match. I always felt like my needs were not met. I was very dramatic, I was very emotional, and they wanted no parts of that. They just wanted to hang up their parenting shoes and move on. So I struggled. I struggled a lot. And my weight was always an issue. From day one, I was addicted to sugar. I know it. I remember going to the baseball field and getting penny candy. I would get hundreds of penny candies with dollars. The poor moms that worked at those stands would be like, oh, I gotta count all these out. And I would eat it all before I got home by myself. I was a hider. All through high school and college, just up and down, always yo-yoing. And then in my 20s, I learned the fine art of fasting, lost a ton of weight, but honestly, I was shaking, I was dizzy, I was literally getting dizzy spells when I was driving because I wasn't eating. But I also felt very proud of myself. Like, oh, look at all this weight I lost in it, and I'm controlling this. Well, that was short-lived. And in my late 20s, my mom got very sick. She had type 2 diabetes, and I watched her slowly decline and basically disintegrate before our eyes. It was the slowest, most painful decline I could ever describe or imagine. And I know it was because of this disease. And I was very aware that that was happening, but that was when I really became off the charts compulsive overeater. Like, I became hardcore. There was food packages in my car. I would have just piles of junk in my desk at work. I always joked that I could have been an FBI agent because I would calculate, like, okay, who did I tell that I was on a diet? Because I really want to eat junk at lunch, but I can't sit next to the person that I said I was on this diet. So I have to maneuver the time and not eat junk in front of them. But it was exhausting just trying to figure out who was going to see me when. I started avoiding stuff. Like, I would avoid get-togethers because I would say I'm too embarrassed of how I look. And It was crazy. It was just flat out insanity. I would know which barista at Starbucks gave the most sugary junk on the drinks. And I would pretend that I didn't know what I wanted, yet if they weren't the next server. It just insane. I mean, the energy it took to keep up with all of those calculations is just flabbergasting. By the grace of God, I was introduced to OA in 2003. And it took me a little bit to get abstinent, but you saw from the picture after the dress incident and really hitting bottom, I found traditional OA, which was a gift and a blessing. I met so many wonderful people there. And I had a few years of really strong abstinence. When I delivered my second son in the hospital, they offered me, I was delirious, you know, I'm sweating, I'm drained, hadn't eaten in, you know, a whole day. And they hold up two choices for me. And they said, do you want one of these? And it was like, I hope we're allowed to mention food in this meeting, but it was a cookie or a bag of crunchy snacks. And I thought to myself, oh God, well, I just delivered a baby. If there's any time in the world that this would be okay, I'll go for the lesser of two evils and I will have the snack. And you guys, you know what happened when I ate that? Nothing. Nothing happened. The floor didn't swallow me up. I didn't get struck by lightning. I didn't gain 50 pounds. Sounds wonderful, right? But that made the wheels start turning. Like, that wasn't so bad. Maybe I could work these back into my food plan. I'm sure you guys are all rolling your eyes and seeing where this is going. So I kept eating that food item, and it was truly like the snowball going down the hill. Nothing happened when I ate that food, so I introduced another food. And then I was raising two little kids, so I was exhausted, and I didn't really feel like I had time to make healthy meals. The wheels fell off, and that became another years of struggle. I'm going to fast forward because I really want to focus on the experience, strength, and hope, because there is so much. I really felt that I needed more than traditional OA. The people there, they loved me, they hugged me, they told me to keep coming back, but I was not accountable for any actions on a daily basis. And so whenever I was off the hook, I didn't do it. I just didn't. I'd call sometimes, not call others, commit my food sometimes, not commit food other. It was not working. So I started listening to OA 2 Hour How. And this was mentioned earlier as well. I didn't introduce myself on the call. I didn't share. I didn't do any readings. I was like peeking over the wall at you guys. Like, what's going on in there? This looks really interesting. And my thoughts were, first of all, you guys are crazy. I don't know how you think that a program like this is sustainable. But then I started hearing the sponsor line, and I couldn't believe person after person after person sharing their length of time in the program, their physical recovery, the sound of their voice, the recovery in their voice. I wanted what you have. But I was afraid I couldn't do what you do. I had all the excuses. I'm too busy. That's too strict. Everything possible to put it off. And then somehow I got the strength to start making calls. And the calls I made were, well, yeah, I'm so impressed that you can do this, but I never could do this. And everyone lovingly told me, I didn't think I could either, believe me. And I would ask, like, was this hard when you started? Yes, of course it was hard. But the gifts I have been given in return for working this program are infinite. It is life-changing. It is heart-changing. It is attitude-changing. It is physical recovery changing. So I started to believe you. I did. And one day I called someone. I love this part of the story. And I said, you know, I'm going off and I'm whining and I'm saying, I can't do this, da 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 da. And I said, well, how do you suggest I do this? And she goes, call me tomorrow at 6:30. Bye. And I'm like, oh, crap. Now I have to, what am I going to do? I think I just committed to calling this person. Well, I better not let them down. They might get up early to take my call. And guess what? That was day one for me. This loving, wonderful person took my food that first day, just said, just tell me what you're going to do today. That's all you need to do. And here's the phone list, call three people. And I did. And that was it. That was the day my heart opened up. My surrender kicked into play. And this program has been a miracle for me. You guys, I'm such a procrastinator. I'm such a quitter. And this program is teaching me how to not do those things. I get up every morning and call my sponsor and I talk to my sponsee. I make my calls. I make my food. I'm the worst cook in the universe. And I, once a week, get in that darn kitchen and cook broccoli and other stuff that I never touched. It is so beyond my own personal
5 minutes.
Thank you so much, Heidi. This is so beyond anything that I could do on my own. I can't even put it into words. If there is anyone on this call who thinks that they don't have it in them to work a program like this, I am here to tell you, you can, and you deserve it. And we are all here to hold your hand and help you through it and talk you through it. And it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be painful. There is so much love and hope in this Zoom room and all of the other OA How calls. It's just a miracle. It really, really is. This quarantine and this whole pandemic, I don't even want to think about where I would be without this program. If I hadn't found OA How before all of this went down, I would be driving around in my car trying to find open stores, and it would just be, I can't even imagine. This program is teaching me how to do one day at a time, and this year, I've needed it the most. My kids have been home with me for 7 months. I've been working from home for 7 months. I am one of those people that needs to get out and about, and I'm learning to do life on life's terms. It is what it is, and I have to get through it in the most sane and recovery-oriented way possible. Could not have done that without all of your help. I am so thankful and so grateful to all of you who were on those calls when I was just peeking over the wall. I'm so thankful to that wonderful person who told me to call her and then practically hung up on me so I wouldn't be able to say that I couldn't. I'm grateful that all of you are here every week to share your experience, strength, and hope with me. So thank you. Please call me. I'm going to put my number in the chat. And I'm also the person that sends out the list. So you'll have my email. And I'm just so grateful for all of you and for this program and my higher power. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kelly. Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, let me see, where are we? We have a couple minutes for shares. Okay, the floor is now open for 3 minute pitches or sharing. In How meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Please turn on your camera and unmute yourself, or you can hit *6 if you're on the phone. Is there anybody who would care to share?
Hi.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Uh-oh, Mar, I think you're frozen. Let's give her a second. Okay, Mar, why don't we come back to you in a minute. Is there anybody else who would like to share?
This is Chaya.
Hi, Chaya, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado. I'm gonna try to go where it's quiet. Oh my gosh, first of all, welcome to anyone who's new. And thank you, Megan and Kelly. Wow. I, oh my gosh, I related to so much. And you know what's what I was thinking from both of you is I have a relatively large family. I have 5 children, not as large as the ones that you grew up in, but pretty big for today's standards. And I'm so grateful that they grew up with me in program. And what a gift. And I related, oh my God, I just related. I really related to Kelly having parents that were done, because like that's how I feel sometimes. Like I'm so done, but can't be done. But I am so grateful to have a program, to have people. I love what you said about, oh, everyone's coming in, talk about big family. I love what you said about, Megan, when you said, you know, I've said for years, you know, we have a God-shaped hole and nothing is going to fill that God-shaped hole except God. But I love, because my, and I can't, just so you know, I am somebody who came to believe. I did not believe when I got here. I literally, they say we came to believe. That was me. And now my that little teeny weeny willingness to even entertain the possibility that there was a God turned, flourished into knowing that I am connected to the absolute infinite source of everything, the source. And so that amazing imagery of that God-shaped hole is infinite. Wow. So infinite in the sense that literally nothing could ever fill it, but also that there's always room for more of God. And that is something, sometimes I say, you know, what's my current level of agnosticism? Where am I thinking God's, you know, God's not gonna help me with this, right? And that's how we continue with the steps. I'm so grateful. And this also hasn't been a road paved with just smooth sailing. I think most of us have not had smooth sailing with abstinence. But it, along the way that it has changed and matured and just with all sorts of things it's had to change. But I am so grateful that this has been my life, you know, my journey. And I love what Kelly said. I just really related on so many levels to everything. And I love what you said, like you can do this. Why? Because it's only when we admit that we can't, that we can. That's why step one is powerless. So thank you so much for letting me share. Chaya in Colorado.
Thanks, Chaya.
Chaya, I appreciate it. Oh, great. Okay, I think we're right at about time to start wrapping it up, guys. All right. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all who participated, especially our speaker, Kelly, who offered so much of herself.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yay! Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
May we have the reading of just for today? Is there anyone signed up for that?
Hi. Yeah. Hi, this is Marilyn.
Yay. Thank you, Marilyn. So good to have you back. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn. Thank you.
Thanks, Marilyn. I'm trying to find where it is. Hold on. I mean,
it's at the end of the readings before the sponsor readings start. So it's kind of in the middle.
I'm Let's see, chat. Okay. I will, just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I'll be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck just as it comes and fit myself to it. I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. I will be unafraid, especially just for today, I will be unafraid, especially I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thanks, Marilyn. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we want to remind you that all that was said here today should remain safely here, as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove your cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer? Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God,
grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change,
the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know
I will not
be done. Amen. Keep coming back. Work it. Work it.
Everyone.
Yes, it does.
Everyone. Thank you for coming, everyone. Yay. Have
thanks,
a good
week.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks,
Kelly.
Thanks,
Kelly.
Thanks, Howard. Good night, everyone.
Have a good week. Take too. Care.
Oh. See y'all bye-bye. Next week.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thanks, Howard.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. Great job.
Oh, thank you. You too. See you next week.
It's pretty quiet there tonight.
Yeah, well, I did have Teresa come through a couple times, but thankfully it was while other people were talking, so you didn't hear the core. You didn't hear the feet run in and someone chase her and her being dragged out. So yeah. Thankfully it was good tongue. So
pretty good. Pretty good.
Yep.